Shut up and sit down.
After a week off, we're back at it here on the Breakfast with Ben's Fantasy Sports Podcast with Jeff Erickson. You can check out Jeff at RotoWire, best fantasy analyst in the business. Best fantasy site in the business is RotoWire. Jeff, you go away. You just had the best week of your life. You went away to Maui, and you come back, and the Reds are in first place. It can't get any better than this for you right now. You're on cloud
nine. They haven't
lost
since before I left. It's crazy. They're Maui's team. It's so fun. You know, with
were you
the
able to watch
any
of the games? Did you find anywhere to watch any of them, or did you just kind of stream it?
No. I mean, especially like the Saturday, like the Saturday and Sunday games. I mean, it's like 8 a.m. Hawaii sometimes. I'm like, I had to recalibrate when a game actually was. And it was great. I just watched the highlights in MLB. We got MLB Network in the room, so that was nice. Dodger games I'd actually be able to watch because any Dodger game on MLB Network or Padre game or I think Angels game, they're all blacked out. But those channels, the local cable channels, are actually broadcast in Hawaii. So, yeah, it's just they have a good dish or whatever. But so I did get that. But, it was interesting. It's been fun. Now, I'll say this. The Reds pitching, not great. Still not great. You know, Hunter Green now on the IL. Mm-hmm. The other bigger caveat is they're beating up on some bad teams. Royals, Rockies, Cardinals. And yes, I said that on purpose. They call the Cardinals a bad team. That was fun. But as a fellow NL Central partisan, I know you enjoy taking the shots when you can.
Yeah, it's the only shots we can take right now here in Pittsburgh because that's the last team the Pirates have beaten. For as much as the Reds have won since you were last on with us, the Pirates have lost pretty much every bit as much since then. It's been bad, especially in the run-producing department when it comes to a fantasy perspective. Boy, anybody who's got Pittsburgh players, position players, has to be just looking at those spots as dead points in their lineup because nothing's happening in terms of run production. They're awful with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, they are. They really are. And you know what? Sometimes level competition picks up. Sometimes it's just water finding its own level again. Both of those things can happen. And they went through it in May as well. So this is like the second time they've had this kind of wave. I expect the same will happen with the Reds. Reds face in their next two series, Atlanta and then at Baltimore.
Mm. Yeah, and Atlanta right now is, up six on the Marlins. That's who the Pirates play starting tonight. That's the next series for Pittsburgh. Talk about fantasy stars, individual stars, Arise and Soler. One's leading the major leagues in hitting. The other one, Soler, I believe now is tied for third in homers with Olsen. Man, he's just been swinging an electric stick right now. He's got 21 home runs already. It's like a return to form to him from his mid-Kansas City years.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's healthy. That's really all there is about it. I mean, he has power that can play in any park, and we've seen that here with Soler. The problem is, though, that's about it offensively. Jazz Chisholm's still hurt. Mm-hmm. They're nine games over 500 and have a negative run differential. That's pretty hard to do. And it was 11 until they lost.
And Alcantara,
the last
he hasn't been much as a pitcher. It's been other guys in that staff.
Yeah, and their bullpen's just mediocre, too. They've won a ton of run one games, and they've done it with a different formula where, you know, usually when you have a great one-run record, there's a little bit of fortune, there's a little bit of outstanding bullpen work. The bullpen work hasn't necessarily been there.
What else did you notice, Jeff, while you were away on vacation? What else caught your eye? I know that you were golfing a lot. I know that you were taking some time off, of course, but I'm sure you were tracking things as well.
Sure. Well, every week we have an elite pitching prospect getting the call. Last week it's Emmett Sheehan. This week it's Gavin Williams. We got the call for the Guardians. Was not great against the A's yesterday, but long-term we expect big things. And that's just been kind of the role. Like the one week we had the major hitter was Ellie De La Cruz, and we saw what it did for the Reds. But even that week we saw AJ Smith-Shawver and Andrew Abbott getting the call. And there's been some guys that have been pop-up pitching prospects, that guys that have taken that next step this year, and Abbott's one of them, that we didn't necessarily hold in that high regard this year going into the year, and they've really taken that step. And it seems like we need more of this starting pitching prospects too, just because so many injuries have happened with starting pitchers or poor performances. Guys like Alek Manoah have just absolutely torched our ratios this year.
Now, when you look at the Reds having won 11 straight, they're getting all the attention right now, but Atlanta's won 7 in a row. San Francisco's won 10 in a row. It's been really weird, Jeff, and I've seen some people write about this. I'm not sure if this is something you guys have discussed at RotoWire or not, but there's been an abundance of teams at the same time getting really, really hot and teams at the same time really tanking. You see these extended losing streaks and winning streaks more this year at various points of the season, where it's like two or three teams at the same time in the same league can't lose, and two or three teams at the same time can't win.
Yeah, it's like when we make the joke about, well, not the joke, but the observation about the weather, that it's we're getting more extremes. You know, maybe hotter in some places, colder in some places, but the fact is it's more extreme. Yeah, I think some of that is, I mean, you look, you got some really bad teams in baseball right now. The Royals and the A's are just so bad. And you, it's no coincidence that a lot of teams that are building these streaks on facing those two teams, and, you know, the Rockies too, who just have no, seem to have no plan. And, you know, at least in the case of, like, you know, the Reds, you know, and some other teams, that they've had this tear down and build up, whereas the Rockies are just kind of dwindling along, twiddling their thumbs, seemingly no plan, not really going after trying to win, but not tearing it down to the studs either.
To amplify your point, especially about Oakland, after snapping to life there against the Pirates and the Brewers, and maybe that's just a product of playing the NL Central and not getting the Reds, at least initially, you know, they were able to win, what was it, like 5 games in a row or something against those three teams. They swept Milwaukee, of all things. Now they've lost 7 in a row, and Colorado, right, as you point out, has lost 8 in a row. So those are two teams that are in a rut almost as bad as the Pirates are. Mitch Keller pitches tonight. He's been a little bit more up and down as opposed to how great he was to start the year. But still, I'm sure fantasy owners that have him are happy with what they're getting.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, it's last couple of games have been a little bit choppy, especially that A's game. You expected a little bit more out of them. Keller versus Braxton Garrett. Now, Braxton Garrett had one of the worst outings of the year, and yet he's only he's at 388. Keller's at 362 ERA. Remember, they left Garrett hanging out to dry for that one start against the Braves, gave up 11 earned runs in one game. And yet since then, you know, if you look at what Braxton Garrett has done since then, he's had a 270 ERA and a 0.95 whip in his last few outings over 43 innings. So pretty impressive to bounce back from that. And that includes a Coors Field start too.
Right. And then I think the Pirates, because this is a 4-game series here, the Pirates get Perez. Yeah, in the last game, Yuri Perez, who's now at 4-1 with a 1.54 ERA. They got a decent start, the Pirates did, from Beto. You know, actually, the Pirates have had a couple of starts that, from a fantasy perspective, if you have the, you know, between Beto's last start, Hill's last start, I think the pitchers did better than what the stats indicate. And there's also this thing now, Jeff, where, you know, the Pirates just don't catch up from behind or make the game closer in the middle innings.
Right.
So that it gets to desperation time at the end. And then the next thing you know, like a 5-1 game has become 8-1. They're getting in that rut where, you know, they can't get to their bullpen. They can't get to Bednar. That's another problem. I'm sure people have Bednar are ticked right now because for the most part, he's been good, but they just can't get to him in a safe situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of has been the thing for him. It's total feast or famine for him. April, he was racking up the saves, had like 7 or 8 right away. And then he went like a month without a save chance. Exactly. Not like he was pitching poorly. Not that he blew anything. It's just he had no chances.
Jeff Erickson with us from RotoWire. All right, Jeff, what'd you think about how the U.S. Open went? How's your golf fantasy league progressing? I know you were struggling there for a while.
You know, I did okay. Didn't kill it. Doing great so far in the first round at Travelers. I have both Keegan Bradley and Shane Lowry on my season-long team. So good day so far. But going back to the Open, you know, again, Scheffler, top 5 every week. If he could only putt a little bit better, that's the one thing that his putting. And it's not like he's, for the most part, been a tragic putter, but he's just not above average there. He isn't gaining any strokes. And usually what happens is you try to find guys that are good ball strikers, and hopefully the putter gets hot for a week. He's been an elite ball striker all season long, like top 5 in all the stroke gains metrics there out there, but he just can't seem to put it in the hole at the end and get those birdies. But you know, he's still top five every single week. It's amazing to see. Love seeing you know, Wyndham Clark breakthrough. This is two wins now in a month for him. At age 29, he's older than people realize to get that breakout, but he's always been an elite ball striker. It's just been a matter of finishing it out, and now he's doing that. The one thing, the other takeaway from the U.S. Open is just, I didn't love the venue. I mean, I think the course itself is fine, but the fact that they can't put as many fans on there, it just takes away from the atmosphere a little bit. You know, Ricky Fowler on Saturday drains like a 70-foot putt. And it sounded like it was Thursday at the Canadian Open or something like that. Just a tepid applause. And some of that is because the fans can't get near the microphones, near the green. Some of it is just like, there's just not as many fans. And I think 2039, they're going back there. And if they don't ever go back there again after that, that's fine by me. That and the obsession with, oh, this is this person's house. This is an overhead of this person's. I don't care about that. Just let me watch the golf.
You mentioned Scheffler. I heard a stat yesterday. Like you said, he's top five every week, but the putting is keeping him from winning, especially in the majors. He's something like $1.8 million per start is what he's getting on average. Because
that's
he
insane.
He's finishing in the high money all the time, but it's getting over the hump because of the putting. That's the problem.
Yeah, and you know, he won TPC, and that's a big money event too. That helps, but it just shows he's close. It's coming. You know, keep rostering him if you can in DFS. I don't think he was prohibitively expensive this week. And, you know, you've got that baseline. And that has value in and of itself. But, yeah, I think he's an incredible golfer. I think more majors are definitely coming in his future.
What do you take away from football, Jeff? Anything now that mini camps are done? Dalvin Cook, I mean, that's been a story, I think, since we last spoke. There was the Stephon Diggs, is he here or is he not here thing. what caught your attention from mini camp this week?
So, you know, obviously, you know, Tyreek Hill situation we're going to be monitoring it too, is another
too.
One.
Yeah.
See if there's any repercussions from him hanging out the marina too much and getting in people's faces. But, I'm going to watch to see what happens where Cook lands, less so for Cook himself and more about what it does to the existing running backs on the roster, you know, and how they juggle that playing time. I'm a little circumspect in boosting Alexander Mattison too much. I know I've seen him go as early as the third round in some cases. I think that's too soon. I'm not even super comfortable with him going in the fifth round. This will be a name. I used this on air the other day, and it brought a cringe reaction, but it'll bring a bigger one to your listening audience. Reminds me of when Amos Zeraway got the chance as a full-time back and really couldn't handle the full-time role. He's one of those great handcuff backs that we'd always drafted. And, you know, you'd start him twice a year whenever Cook was hurt. But week in, week out, I don't know if he can withstand the rigors. And I think I don't know if he's good enough to kind of handle that. So I'd almost be looking to see it like go stash Ty Chandler late in the draft as his backup.
Jeff, what can people find at RotoWire this week?
So we came up with a set of, for football, came up with a set of round table rankings. Four of us, myself, Jim Coventry, Jerry Donabedian, and I believe, Mario Puig, doing our rankings. You know, we rank up to 300, and then we take top 150 from that, make it our consensus rankings there. And you guys can check that out. We got ADP battles, average draft position battles, some key spots, some articles on that. We're going to have training camp previews coming up really soon too, as well. Check it all out. RotoWire.com/free, get your free trial, peek behind the paywall, let you kick the tires, do a test drive before you subscribe.
Jeff, great. Thanks. Appreciate it. Welcome back from Maui, and we'll do it again next week.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.